Amen. You guys have a seat, please. It's funny, every few weeks when I see Tracy Christman, I have had the same conversation out in the lobby a few times about needing to install some tissue pockets in each of the chairs. And I was... after hearing that testimony of Haley's interaction with that girl, I was not coming off the back wall back there until Dale felt like the Holy Spirit was giving him the liberty to close out worship for these moments while we're going to God's Word. Because one of the greatest things that we get to do is just to worship Jesus. This first song we sang right after announcements, when I listen to the lyrics of that song, I love just the imagery that it creates, because some of you that are here and some people at many churches, you haven't figured out yet that you have the freedom in the Holy Spirit to lose your mind during worship, right? Like you can, you know, there'll be a moment where, you know, here, if you ever had that kind of thing where it's like, man, if I just worship Jesus and this is just in spirit and in truth, and man, I don't, like, whatever happens with my arms and my feet and everything, we'll feel really out of place if we're not kneeled down at the feet of Jesus worshiping him and just completely in that moment. We won't know anything else. So feel free some Sundays and some days while you're in the car to just go ahead and get loose. It's like the pre-stretch for glory, okay? So just if you want to worship, you worship, right? Don't care so much. Don't think so much. Just allow God to just give you that freedom, and you'll enjoy it. This week I came up stairs after practice on Thursday, and I saw this label. It says Yeti. If you don't know, if you don't own one, I'm sorry. We'll pray for you. I was given one last year, and my life's just been better ever since. But this is from Chris Trogdon. I didn't realize it, but evidently he asked for a sense of humor for Christmas. And he still doesn't have one, because he put this on my desk, and it says Yeti. And when I saw it from a distance, like I came through the door up there, and I got a little desk that's at the very back corner because they're still trying to decide if they would like me here. And so at the very back corner, I see it from a distance. And, of course, he turns it to where I can clearly read Yeti. So I thought, man, this is like a can cooler. I've got this weird allergy to aluminum. Don't ask. It's just a bad family history. But I was like, this could solve all my problems, drinking out of aluminum cans. Plus, it'll be cold for weeks, no matter if the soda's fresh or not. And I, like, the moments between that door and my desk were exhilarating. And then I get to my desk to find out that he took the label off of a can of vegetables. And he used a can opener to create, evidently, the Brown Summit Yeti. Now, I know Chris, and I remember when he used to be an elder here. And I know his generosity, and I know that this is not his heart all the time. But I would like to make this offer to you. Maybe you have somebody that you just want to kind of, ruin their day this week. Anybody want this to take it to work? Just show of hands, anybody? See, everybody here is too nice. Oh, you can take it to school. All right, so that's the Brown Summit. See, just makes me feel better that y'all are such good people that y'all don't want to do that. We want to start, man. Last week was one of the toughest. It's always a tough Sunday when you got to cancel for weather, because it's the new year. And if you have been able to be here Christmas and New Year's Day, those were two just tremendous services. Really, really great. I know a lot of people just have family stuff and things going on, and you're not able to be here. And last Sunday was, man, it's just, you kind of keying up for that first big momentum builder going into the year. Because I'll tell you, you are attending this morning a very not perfect church. But if you'll hang on through this year, you'll be able to give testimony to some things that you'll see God do as he helps us make decisions, as we see people come in here and respond to the gospel, and we all grow individually, and then our church builds, and we let God take us from there. I was excited for that first Sunday. So canceling last week was just, man, it was a bummer, but I am glad that we're all in here together this week. I'm glad that that we have an opportunity just to be able to worship together. What we're going to start with this year is this is not the greatest series title ever. It's called Figuring Things Out. What we want to do is, and we put a quick little video out on social media this week, but there's a lot of times where I would really like the pause button in life to be able to stop some things long enough to just really have a chance to figure some things out. I don't know about you, but I don't ever want to make a bad decision. I don't have the desire to go, you know what, this is really not that important. Let's just kind of see how it goes. I really want to make the best decisions I can, but a lot of times I don't see what comes up to me during my days and my weeks. I don't foresee every problem that I have to end up dealing with. We can't predict phone calls that we get. I've been waiting on a phone call for the last few days. There's an older lady that I've known for years and years and years, and she's near the end of her life, and her family's just been there for the last couple weeks and trying to keep her comfortable as she's getting ready to transition from earth to heaven. Today one of her sons texted me this morning. He said, hey, he said, I know this sounds really selfish. He said, but would you mind just praying that maybe God just gives mom one more day? Because he said, today is mine and my wife's anniversary. And he said, I know it's selfish. He said, but I really would like not to have those two dates coincide. And, you know, there's a million of those things. So what we'd like to tackle over the next few weeks are hopefully some things out of Scripture that we can really lock our teeth into to figure out some really good understandings about who God is and how he works and what he really sees in us and wants for us so that we can be better prepared when we can't hit a pause button to be able to handle something hopefully a little bit more quickly and in time with our lives. There's a verse that I was reading some in Jeremiah this week. We're not going to be in Jeremiah this morning, but I was reading some of Jeremiah's life this week. And you may have heard this on the video, but it's worth saying again just to get this verse in our heads. Jeremiah, he was a prophet, and he was at a point in life where as he looked around, he could find very little to be the way that he really wanted it to be or he knew that God would hope for it to be. And as he's kind of looking at just problem after problem, God makes him this offer in chapter 33, verse 3. And this verse is going to be on the screen right now. God makes him a really unique offer. He says, if you'll call to me, and I'm probably not going to hit this verse, this word for word, but if you'll call to me, then I will answer you, and I will show you some great and mighty things which you do not know. When he says this to Jeremiah, this is a really interesting concept because it's God's heart speaking directly to Jeremiah going, Jeremiah, there are things you just don't know, and you hadn't figured them out, and you probably couldn't find them if you went looking for them and trying to figure it out. So I'm going to help you if you'll just ask. I'm going to tell you some things that you'll be able to really use and really understand that you'll probably and most certainly never find anywhere else but from me. So you just ask, and I'll just answer. So what we want to do is we want to trust God to say, okay, God, help us. Teach me something. Let me see something from you that I need. And you know what he did for Jeremiah? He didn't just tell Jeremiah something for him. He helped him understand not just his own life, but the lives around him, the world around him, and his whole plan for the world. And I think really God wants to unfold literally those pages that big for us as an understanding so that we can go live like Jesus through the Word. Just like Dale just said, you know, for us to go live like Jesus in front of somebody so they both see the gospel and not just hear it. We don't have to beat them over the head because God's just prepared us to be the life that they need to see in front of us. So we're going to go to Exodus chapter 3. Specifically today, this is just a discouragement. Can you catch well? If you just set that away from me, I just need that. Just need that gone. Just like Chris. Just kidding. I love you, man. We're going to be looking today specifically with the idea of God speaking. there's a whole lot of times I would love to be able to live in the times of in the Old Testament, because God did a whole lot of out loud verbal conversation. You ever just said, man, God, if you just show me a sign, you just let me know, God, what I need to do right now. Well, that's a little bit tougher of a question and a subject than maybe we give it credit for. So I want us to kind of, you'll just kind of ride this out with me today. I promise we'll get there. Yesterday, I started my 2017 basketball coaching season, right? And I'm coaching these kids, and I've got, I don't even know, what are the ages of my kids? First and second grade is the youngest division. Then I'm coaching a third and fourth, and then a seventh and eighth. And I'm really just saying this for you to pray for me. Because most sane people sometimes coach one team. I can't say no to my kids, so I end up coaching all of them. So I'm in, you know, spiritual basketball purgatory. And, you know, as we're playing these games and as we're in these game moments, it's really tough, because I'm sitting here and I'm watching these kids and I'm like, man, we're not there yet. You're really not doing what you need to do. And some of it is I need to tell them something for them right now, right at the moment. And some of it is an issue that they just don't understand the big picture yet. They haven't really taken in all that I've been saying. And with my relationship with God, a lot of times it's like that. Sometimes my problem is I don't understand all that he's been saying. Sometimes I need to just, I feel like, man, if I could just hear from you in the moment, maybe that'll fix everything. And really, it's both of those things together, which is, I think, what we're going to see this morning in Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, we're gonna start in verse 3. But this starts a time in the nation of Israel. This is, if you're not real familiar with the Bible and how it flows from Genesis to Revelation, God had chosen for him a people on earth for him to really work through, for even those that were on the outside to be able to accurately see God. Not that they were excluded from God, because God, in fact, always allowed people, he has always allowed people to see a clear picture of him and be able to come to him and worship him. But he began with this group of people, and we refer to them as the Israelites, the Jew, you know, the nation of Israel, and this is a point in time where they have found themselves in the middle of being slaves in Egypt. Now, they outnumber the Egyptians by far. There's millions and millions of them. In fact, their slavery started because they were multiplying so fast. You may say, well, if that's God's chosen people, how in the world did they live in slavery? Sin. They sinned. And their sin moved them away and moved them into slavery over a number of years, over a number of generations. God didn't want them to be slaves. He never intended on them to be slaves. But if you think about it, like for me in my life, sin, if my sin can continue to lead me away from God to the point that I'm essentially living in slavery to sin and not free to live for him because I've made decisions that have taken me in that direction. And that's the same thing that had happened with the children of Israel. In chapter 3 of Exodus, God begins to put on full vision his plan for how this is going to end and how they're going to go and live in freedom. And he starts this conversation with a guy named Moses. Moses was born to Jewish Hebrew parents. He was hidden because the Pharaoh, who was the king of Egypt, he was so intimidated by the numbers of the Israelites that he started wanting to kill male children. If you kill all young males, then you'll finally get a generation that lacks maybe a military, maybe some leadership, and those things. Well, his mom hid him. He was found by Pharaoh's daughter, then Moses' sister, if you're keeping up with this. She kind of pops out of the weeds and is like, hey, you may help you with that baby? I can go find, you know, maybe a Hebrew woman who will nurse him and take care of him. And she's like, yeah, that's an excellent idea. So she gets their mom. And he was able to stay with his mom for a few years until he has to then go live in Pharaoh's palace. And he grows up. So he grows up understanding that he's not an Egyptian, but with this other really conflicted identity. So in chapter 3, he's gotten away from the Egyptians. He's kind of broken free because he realizes that's who he's not. And he's on his way to being part of the people that he knows he belongs to. And if you've ever felt like that, you ever feel like you kind of separated from some things in my life, and I know that's not who I'm supposed to be, and I'm trying to move to where I feel like I should be, but I'm just kind of not quite there yet, I don't feel comfortable yet. This is kind of what Moses was feeling. In verse 3, it says this, "So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange thing." See, what was happening was this. This is a really key piece of information. God was beginning to get, he wanted to speak to Moses. So as he's in this land and he's shepherding sheep and he's herding sheep around, he walks up and there's a bush, there's a small plant that is on fire. Now, what seems odd is Moses is the only person around. So number one, it would seem odd that sporadically, here's a bush that just catches fire. He doesn't see anybody around. He doesn't see anything that would have started the fire. So this is what he's responding to in this vision he's got here, that what he's seeing. He says, "I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up." It was on fire, but it was not being consumed. This was a pretty dry climate. A plant like that caught on fire should have burned up pretty quickly. It wasn't being consumed. This seems odd. So he goes over to check it out. "When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' And Moses said, 'Here I am.'" Now, I know the Bible's accurate, but I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say, if a plant starts talking to you and it's on fire and calls you by name, don't you think there's something else he said right there that's just maybe not quoted? Like, this is a little bit more summary of comments. At least a good, huh? I mean, just something. "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you stand is holy ground." Before, let me go ahead. Did I put that right there? Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm on pace. Here's the first point that I want to look at this morning, which is this. In knowing what God is saying and being able to hear from him, your and my attention is required. It's interesting. God put something out there to catch Moses' attention. But it says that when God saw that Moses went over there, when God saw that he had Moses' attention, is when God initiated this conversation. And it seems very possible to me that in my life, that whenever I feel like maybe I'm not hearing God speak, it really just could be because I have not given him my attention. Why would we assume that God would just be silent and not want to speak to us? Because we live in the church age that if we are saved, that means we are a follower of Jesus. We have committed our life to him. The Bible tells us we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Why would God put his very spirit in me and want us to just not communicate? So the very first thing here, when we talk about hearing from God and knowing what God is saying, very first thing we have to understand is that our attention is required. It is a very, very self-centered thing to think that we as people are so important that God wants to fit in our lives. Right? I don't know if you've ever dealt in the realm of just like, for a job, just customer service. I really believe that everybody should work customer service at some point in their life. If you've never had your pay directly tied to making somebody happy, you hadn't lived yet. You haven't been fully frustrated yet. I'm right? I remember when I had a job in sales, I remember waiting for money to come in, and there would be something that somebody was just holding a check or holding a payment for because they wanted something else done. And there's this moment where you're going, okay, I can sit here and complain and say I deserve this check more than anybody else does, or I could go take care of this one thing and get that whole payment. I can sit back as a believer in Jesus and say, God, my life is important. My problems are big, and I'm just going to need you to talk to me on my time schedule. But that would put me as a priority above God in importance. And God said that you're not supposed to have any idols over me, any gods over me. And that would basically be me putting myself in that spot. So my attention is required. Now, what I do like in this passage is God put something out there to get Moses' attention. God gets all the turmoil of emotions that are within us. Moses was stressed right here. He had a lot going on. God understands that about us. He's not trying to be tricky. He wants to drop moments and situations and conversations into our life that just say, hey, come look. Come look. We say it all the time around here. Jesus is polite. He says that I stand at the door and knock. Jesus is not trying to beat us over the head with something. It is a constant invitation. How polite is Jesus? He borrowed a tomb. He returned it empty after 3 days. He folded his clothes on the way out. You don't get much more polite than that. So he will provide something that will get our attention. Most of us have realized those things. But it's when our attention is focused on God and when we approach. And what's the scenario when we approach? What does our attention mean? It means that we are on God's turf. What does he say to Moses? Moses, be careful, buddy. This is holy ground. This ain't for games. I'm not wasting my time with you. I'm not giving you time fillers. I'm not wasting your time. So don't come up in here and not realize that this is a serious moment. Anytime that we say, okay, God, you got my attention, God's just as serious as we are. Trust me. Our attention's required. After that, we go here into the next verse. My Bible is so small print and I need reading glasses, so I actually don't know what number it is. What number is it? Here, go to the next one. Is it 9? 6. Wow, that's a 6. That's fantastic. Then he said, I actually took colored pencils so I know where I'm supposed to be. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And this Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about their sufferings. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Amen. And now the cry of the Israelites have reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. Here's the next thing I want you to think. When we want to know that we hear from God, I want you to understand this concept. God has already spoken. Now, what do I mean by that? God, next step in conversation with Moses, he does not jump straight to, hey, Moses, I'm going to lay your game plan out personally because really all these other people don't matter. I'm just going to tell you what you need for the moment you're in right now. First thing God does, he said, all right, let me help you understand. Before you and your problems, I was the God of Abraham, I was the God of Isaac, I was the God of Jacob. I always have been. And I've heard the complaints of my people, and they are in a bad situation. I get it. I've heard their crying and their whining and their pleas for help, and I know what they feel like the problems are. I see the whole big picture. Why was it important for Moses to hear that before he got his specific instructions? Here's the thing. In our lives, we have already lived past the life of Jesus, the life of the apostles, all that in the Bible, all the lives in the Old Testament. We have what we call the Bible, the canon of Scripture. God has already spoken. What he tells us will not be brand new news. It will already match what he's already said. Because he told him this. He said, look, Moses, I can't be a different God to you than I was to Abraham. So Abraham is who he made this original promise to. He said, so if I promise something to Abraham, I'm not just going to give up on it on you. Abraham's gone, but my promise is still here because I'm still God. So what does that mean for us? If you wonder about what's going on in your life, is this God telling me to do this? Is this God speaking to me? It has to match up with what he's already said. Right? If you say, you know, God, do you want me to stay in my marriage? He's already spoken about that. I'll be straight with you. You don't have to pray about that. Pray about the boldness to do it, the courage to do it, the help to do it. But does God want you to stay in your marriage? Yes. He's already said it. He won't change that message. It won't contradict. God, do you want me to witness to this person, the conversation that Caleb was having? God, do you want me to share Christ with somebody? Jesus already said go. Make disciples. That means we can't do that without teaching somebody about Jesus. We have to pray about that. Mark 10 says that there's a person of peace. Is it the right moment and the right person? Okay, so we pray over that. God, do you want me to quit my job? What has God already said? Is a job going to drive something between you and your family, and your family's going to be ruined, it's going to be broken apart? The family's greater than job. God's already said that. Do you want me to quit my job? God already says, he said, well, you're not supposed to live foolishly in debt. Pay your bills. Pay people that you owe. He needs us to work. So if it means that all of a sudden we go bankrupt on everything just because we don't like our job, no, that's not going to match. It's always going to match here. There's some questions that we struggle with. Well, I'm going to get to that in a minute. We have to understand that God has already spoken. The value of his full and complete word when we're going through a situation cannot be underestimated. You know, I heard it said like this one time, and I may have used this illustration. If I have, please excuse it. But I heard it put like this one time. What would you take to never be able to read his word again? What amount of money is it worth to you to say, I can never have access to God's word again? Would you just simply take $1,000 in cash? Most of us would say, And in the moment I heard it, here's how I heard it in the crowd. Somebody acknowledged, they said, they threw out the number, $500,000 in cash. And somebody said, I might take it. He said, okay, well, let's stop there then. He said, at the very minimum then, he said, what we're saying is he said, we have a resource that's worth $500,000 in cash in front of us, and we don't use it enough. Understanding what God says in his word as a regular study in our life is absolutely essential to be able to know in moments what we need to do, what we need to think, how we need to feel. We do try to get by without it. I have grown more in the last 10 years of my life from just studying God's word for just what it says in there, not because of a problem I was having, but just understanding it, so that when I had the problem, I already had something to work with because God had already spoken. Now, let's get into the part where we kind of live in a lot, and I struggle with really knowing what God is saying, maybe specifically to us for a time and in a moment, okay? In verse 10, I can see that one. Verse 10, so now go, and I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites, and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. If you ever get a chance, I would encourage you this. There is so much stuff that on one Sunday and one sermon, I can never get all the way through in certain passages. Exodus chapter 3, there is so much stuff in here. Just little stuff as God puts his perfect word together that is just so amazing to know. This I am statement, the fact that it was fire that caught his attention and what that represents, so much stuff as God puts his perfect word together. It's like it just becomes so obvious that he's doing something bigger than even what we're reading in these words. I would really encourage you just to study this one passage if you get a chance to sometime this year. Totally lost my place, sorry. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God, your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. When God moved from helping Moses see that he had spoken, he had an overall word that he had already spoken that was the anchor point, the measuring stick for what he was about to say after it. Then the conversation shifts to what? More specifically, Moses' life. God is always ready and willing to take his word and its application down to our level. When I say that God has spoken, that is not saying, okay, God is just this big God up here, and man, he said some big things, so he just has big ideas that are supposed to just kind of cover us all. No, he wants to get exactly where you live, in the walk that you're walking right now, and the problems that you're dealing with, and the relationship that you have and I have. And he takes it down to that level for Moses. So what does the conversation sound like between him and Moses? Moses, I've already spoken. I've got a master plan. Now here's what I'm going to do. Now I want to involve you in it. Moses says, hang on though. To involve me in it is going to put me in a place and put me in a set of circumstances that I don't know that I'm comfortable with. So what happens if people don't get on board with what you're asking me to do? He says, all right, here's your response. You tell them that this is not a Moses thing, that this is a God thing. And he says, you describe me this way, and that'll prove to them because of what they know that I've done in the past that this is real. He says, okay, but you know, what if they really don't believe that I've heard from you? And he said, all right, well, you go back and tell them then that I'm the same God that spoke to all the people that they believe in. They believe in all these promises. So if they believe in those promises, then they can't not believe me when I make another one. Because if I've kept all those and I'm in the process of keeping them and fulfilling them, then they got to give me credit for this one too. So what does it mean when we figure out how is God speaking to us and is it God speaking to us over something we're in the middle of? I want to read a few of them to you. If you don't get a chance to write these down, we'll connect later. We'll put these out somewhere so you can get these. These are not going to be on the screen. As an overall point, this is what will be on the screen for this third point, the overall point. You can know what God is saying specifically to you. Please understand. You may say, I'm not that smart. Really? John the Baptist, Jesus said, was one of the greatest preachers of all time that will ever live. He lived out in the wood. He wore burlap, and he ate honey, and he ate crickets. If you met that person at Walmart, you would not call them smart. Right? It's not an intelligence thing. It's just understanding what God speaks to. You talk about intelligence. You know, the average person in the United States reads, average adult reads on a sixth grade level. You know what level, that, as they've analyzed all of Jesus' sermons, you know what level he taught on? Sixth grade. He already knew what grade level we were going to be on 2,000 years later. God will put it on a level that you and I can understand. Trust me, if I can understand it, you can understand it. The average intelligence on this side of the stage is a whole lot higher than what it is right here, okay? But here's the thing. Is God speaking to you? Is God speaking to you? Is this God saying something? Or if you're wanting God to say something, here's what we got to work through. You ready? First one is your attention. Is it God speaking to me? I don't know. Does he have your attention? God, are you telling me to do this right now? Am I really paying attention, or am I just, you know, grabbing on something that I want to go do? Figure out where the attention is aimed at. Second thing is this. It will match what he's already said. I know I just harped on that a second ago. But I just, it is amazing. It is amazing the times I've struggled in my life thinking, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And I've tried to make my problem so specific that I've made it more difficult than his word had already addressed. Right? Here's one of the toughest ones. Some of the conversations I've had lately, and it's not just our church thing. It's at the last church that I was at. It's friends that I've got. It's what me and Wendy went through through one period of our marriage, which is difficulty having kids, right? All of us probably know something that struggles with that. And here's one of the things, because I've had this conversation recently, and I really thought through this, and this is an example that I think we can all kind of think through together. If somebody says, "Okay, God, speak to me. Do you want me to have kids right now? Why don't I have kids right now?" Okay, what has God already said? Well, He has clearly talked about what we're supposed to be like as parents. He has told us how we're supposed to handle our finances. He's told us how we're supposed to serve Him and all those things. And sometimes I think we want to make something so much about us. When Wendy and I really wanted to have our first child, and we had him, and he turns 13 this year. I told you I get my first teenager. When we wanted him so bad, I was so frustrated with, God, am I not supposed to, if I want to be a dad right now, why, am I not supposed to be a dad? And I had narrowed this subject with him down so much to this one thing that I wasn't taking into consideration, well, He's already spoken about what I'm supposed to be like as a parent, what I'm supposed to be like as a husband, what I'm supposed to be like as a Christian, what I'm supposed to be like on all these other things. And I already am a Christian and a husband. And I totally stopped focusing on those two things because I was focusing on this next thing I was wanting Him to bring into my life. And He tells me that He wants to give me good things and He wants the things to work out in His timing. And that's one of those hard life situations. Because if you've ever really tried to have a baby and you haven't been able to have one, you know what that's like. And God realizes that's hard. Very, very hard. But there's so many things that He's spoken to us about that He wants to help us work through to get perspective on. I'm not saying that if you're stressed over something that just makes it all better. It doesn't. It's still going to be a hard situation. But sometimes we narrow it down like a job situation. God, do I quit this job? Well, we're narrowing it down so tight on something that we just want to force God to answer. And maybe He's just not, that's not what He's speaking to in our life right there at the moment. I don't say that. I know for some of you may say, well, that just doesn't sound real hopeful. I know. But God does speak on hope. And He speaks on how to have hope and how to find that in a deep relationship with Him. And sometimes the real true answer in our life is God gives us time in our life to fall in love and get into a deep relationship with Him so that other things are more manageable and we're able to make them through it in a different way and with joy. And that's just real big boy, big girl Christianity, I know, because it stinks. Because when we hurt, we hurt. We're frustrated, we're mad, we don't like life, we do. What He is saying will match what He's already said. It'll match His word. If you feel like God's saying something to you and you can't match it up with what He said in Scripture, please don't go and act on it. Okay? Next thing is this. What He says to you will move you farther into what He's already doing. What He says to you will always move you into what He's doing. What He told Moses was not easy, but it moved Moses into what God was already doing, which was the process of freeing His people. If you want to give a decision a good once-over, ask a question like this. God, will this allow me to serve You better, know You more, or help build Your kingdom more effectively? And if it legitimately will, I would really start heading that way. If it takes you even one step away from God, I would scratch that off the option list. Because if it's God truly speaking, it's always about moving you more into what He's doing. Here's the last one. God speaking to you will not be the result of me asking the wrong questions. The more Derek-focused my questions are, the more I don't find out what God's really saying. A year ago, I was able to start pastoring here. Before that, I was on staff at another church. Probably 2 years from before I came here, I really felt like God was getting ready to move me somewhere away from that church. Now, as I transition, I'm just going to share from my own personal life. As I was interviewing here, and as I let my church know that I was leaving and I felt at peace that God was moving me on, I started here on January 3rd. I took a picture of the entire room because Satan had told me all week that nobody was going to show up, so I just took a picture of everybody.
Right.
So if you've come since, we'll take another shot. We'll take another picture. On that same Sunday, the gentleman that was pastoring the church that I was at resigned that Sunday. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. I spent a huge part of my life at that church. So when I first heard that news, now bear in mind, I've never struggled with the peace that I'm exactly where God wanted me to be. But there was a part of me that said, God, man, I sure would like to help them. I know that my church would have allowed me 30 days just maybe to help a little bit through a tough situation. I think they would have let me for 30 days still help where I was. You know, did I miss something? Did I, you know, should I have done something different? Could I, you know, could you have, you know, did you want me to do something there? And I'm asking these questions, and all of a sudden it dawns on me one day, like it's something that I just couldn't get peace over. Like, was it, you know, because think about it. As much as you may say, you know, I love my church family, I was right in the middle of having two of them. Right? I like this one better. But, I'll block my microphone so that can't be recorded. So, I'm just kidding. Maybe a little serious. So, I'm right in the middle of having two of them. Right? I'm right in the middle of having two of them. So my heart literally wants to do everything for two different groups of people, and I could not get peace. I could not get peace over it. And all of a sudden, one day I finally realized I was asking a very self-centered question, because every question that I was asking was about me. Could I? Should I? I could have. I would. I want to. And I was all up in the middle of all of it. The problem is, I wasn't just saying, God, you're sovereign. You're God. You knew everything. You know everything that's ever going to happen. None of it fractures the gospel. None of it breaks it. So, God, you can't be defeated. You can't be deterred. Your church, if it was ever going to die, it would have been in the first century of its existence, because everybody was getting killed for believing. And it didn't die. And here I am wanting to know what I could do more of. I felt like an idiot. Because what I should have been asking is, God, what do I need to be faithful right here in the moment? What do I do right now for you? God speaking, and I wondered, why am I so frustrated? You know why I was frustrated? Because I was asking the wrong questions. I was finally able to ask God speak. I was finally able to hear God speak when I stopped asking the wrong questions. Hearing God speak is not a result of me asking the wrong things. Because when I ask the wrong things, most of the time it ends up being totally and completely about me. So, we want to hear God speak, right? I mean, that's really what we want. We want to know what He says about us, about our lives, about our church, about all this stuff. Well, number one, please understand that in your life and where you're at, and in my life where I'm at, in our church's life and where it's at, we have to very first start to know and understand that God needs our attention. And if He does not have it, we will not hear clearly. And I know that sounds really simple, because what do we say a million times? I say it around my house all the time. I say it at three basketball practices every Tuesday night. I practiced three times with three different teams on one night of the week. Tuesday, 6, 7, and 8. You want to pray for your pastor? Pray I'm out of jail at 9 o'clock, right? What do I say? Guys, come on. I need your attention. Guys, I need your attention. Because what do I know? What do I know? They will not grow. They will not hear. They will not learn. They will not get better unless they pay attention. Yet what do I do spiritually? Right? Drifting, wondering. Okay, Derek, need your attention up here. There is one direction that I can look if I'm going to hear from God, and that is to God. Second thing is that God has already spoken. If you have never committed regular time into your life and your schedule, not studying for a problem or studying for a lesson or studying for a sermon, because that, trust me, for me, that has always been a big struggle, because when I was a youth pastor, I spoke at least three times a week. So I was constantly speaking, studying for something I was going to speak on. And you really stop studying as much for what you need to grow in compared to what you need to speak on. When I devote more time into just studying God's Word to understand it for what it says, not because of something's wrong, then what I can grasp and hear starts to grow exponentially. Then when God says, okay, now it's time and I have your attention, that I can take my conversation with you from the big to the you and get specific, then I already know what it has to match. He's already got my attention. I'm starting to ask the right questions. And I'm starting to understand what he says. Knowing that we're hearing God clearly is no small thing if we claim to be a Jesus follower. Because if we claim to be a Jesus follower and we're just living absent and away from God's word, there's no wonder why there's going to be a feeling of emptiness and disconnect and absence and that pull of, you know, do I go to church, not go to church? Is it worth it? You know, why? You know, people are worshiping, their hands are up, they seem to be feeling something, I'm feeling nothing. You know, when we live more absent from God's will and God's word and his message, then we're wired to feel disconnected, because the Holy Spirit is not the loudest voice in our life and not the leading influence. So God wants us to hear from him. But there is a process in that, and there is some assurance in that, that we can make sure that we're hearing the right thing. Will you stand up with me just for a few minutes, and we're getting ready to go back into worship. In the invitation time and the time of services where we kind of draw everything to a close, I know that I could just say, okay, everybody bow your head and close your eyes. If you would like for me to pray for you that you hear God's word more clearly, you know what he wants you to do in your life, would you slip your hand up? What are we all going to do? I want to hear it. Okay. Let's bypass that, okay? For me, and this is the question I have to just ask myself sometimes. Okay, Derek, if you want to know more surely that you're following God closely, are you willing to take time to give him your attention, to just study his word, and then just be alert for things that he's doing to grab your attention, to catch it and to speak? And then take what he's saying or what you feel like he's saying and do the work with it. God, does it match what you've already said? I want confidence in this. So now that I know this is you speaking, what did God say to Moses? All right, now you get it. Now I'm sending you. I'm engaging you. Do I take it and then go with it and do something with it and go be engaged with it? My question for you more right now is just as we go into worship, Is that where you're at? The praise man can go ahead and come up. I know I'm kind of, this is not the best transition in the world, but yeah, just come on up. Is that where you're at? If right now in your life you have a desire to hear from him, what needs to happen to get you to that place? I know what needs to happen for me. man, there's things all across 2016, even within this ministry, within this church, there's so many things that I wanted to have gotten done and to do this, and all of a sudden, you know, again, I start asking the wrong questions and thinking the wrong things. God, I should have done this, and I want to get this done. God, what do you want to get done? There's so much that can get you done. God, what do you want done now? Let me focus my attention on that. What do you need to happen to be able to move you to the place to where you can hear more clearly, pay attention more clearly? What needs to happen? If you're noticing something and you're curious and you have a desire, understand what God promised and offered to Jeremiah. Call on me and I will answer and I will show you great and mighty things which you don't know. If you feel like right now you're wrestling with this thing of, God, I just don't know, then just begin with this step. God, I need you to speak to me. I need to hear from you. So whatever needs to happen to make that happen, show me. Help me to follow. If in these moments while we worship, this is just that moment where you want to come up and pray. Just you. You just want to have a time of prayer at the altar just to kneel down physically to say, God, I just got to get some things more right with you. I want to hear from you. I just need you to know how serious I am about God moving somewhere with you and following you. Then come on up front. If you go, you know what? I don't think I've ever heard God's voice because I don't know God. I don't know what it means to really know Him. That we would love for you to come up front and talk to you about what a relationship with Jesus Christ means and how you begin that and what the Bible says that we need to believe and commit to start that. If you're just going to stay right where you're at and say, God, you know, I would love to know what you want from me. I would love to know what my life is supposed to look like. My marriage, my family, my job, my personal walk with you, just my time alone, God. I want to know what it means and what needs to happen for that to be right. Then just begin the process and the habit of calling on Him if He doesn't tell you to move anywhere else. Just stay right where you're at. Just call on Him. God, as we have these moments with you, God, we just pray that we are faithful and we honor you in what we do. Lord, we love you. And we want to praise and we want to lift up the name of Jesus. God, there's been a lot of times where we've started years in churches where we've said, God, we want to hear from you. We want to see you do something. But God, I know personally, I haven't done nearly enough to hear enough and to see enough done. So God, help us to give you our attention. If that means quieting some other things down or stepping away from some things, if it's a true, honest focus on you, God, I trust you that you'll show me what I need to move away from, what I need to say no to. But God, help me understand your whole word, what you've already said that is so complete and speaks into so many areas of our life. God, thank you that you would even take your big conversations down to our level and engage us in what you're doing. Help us be a part of reaching people for Christ and being Jesus in this world and seeing problems fixed and things healed, relationships mended. Thank you that we can have more joy in this year than we had last year because we can just hear from you. So God, help us to follow and obey what you're saying now to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.